What has happened during sports during COVID with almost no fans or with no fans that has either reinforced or contradicted all the research you had done previously about fan influence on player performance?
You know, it's really interesting. If you look at the literature that's been around for a long time, and this is literature that has been around longer than we have been studying sports fans, right? So it's not like this is a database, a set of work that has been done since research on fandom really ramped up in the 90s. This is stuff that goes back a ways. There's a really important social psychological approach known as social facilitation. And social facilitation is basically research that tries to figure out how does an audience impact performance. And it was done, you know, again, before people were talking about fans and how players and performances impact fans and how fans, you know, can impact performances. This goes back to really more of an industrial organizational psychology sort of perspective of, you know, if we have other people watching people, do they perform better? Do they perform worse? And then sometime in the 70s and 80s, the sport kind of got into that and jumped on board and tried to figure it out. And basically what social facilitation theory says is that an audience can both help and hurt the performance of the actor. Now, again, it doesn't necessarily have to be within a sports setting. It could be in an educational environment. It could be in a business environment. It could be in, you know, in a theater or some type of a musical production environment. The audience, and the research is really clear here, the audience could help or hurt. What it comes down to is that individuals, what they'll call dominant response. A dominant response is simply how well does that person engage in that behavior? How likely are they to be successful at that act? So if you want to have an example from the sport realm, let's talk about free throw shooting. So, okay, what is the athlete's dominant response for free throw shooting? Well, okay, do they make more than they miss? That's what it comes down to. So if you have them shoot 100 free throws by themselves and they miss more than they make, well, then their dominant response would be failure. If they make more than they miss, then their dominant response would be success. And what happens, according to this theory, and again, the research is very supportive of this, is when an individual performs an act in front of an audience, that audience increases that individual's level of arousal. It makes our blood pressure go up a little bit, our heart race, you know, races a bit. And that arousal then in turn leads to dominant response. So it brings out our default or our natural tendencies. So what that means is if your dominant response is successful, if whatever it is you're doing, you happen to usually get it right, and you do it in front of others, your performance will improve. If your dominant response is failure, you tend to stink at this thing, and you do it in front of others, then your performance will go down. Well, how that plays out in the you know, 2020, 2021 COVID world of sports and sport fandom, I would think it's a fair assumption that for most athletes, their dominant response for what they do is going to be success at the college and professional level. Now, having said that, that's not always the case, right? So think about a college kicker attempting a 50-yard field goal. They probably miss more than they make from that distance, right? But if you look at overall their field goal percentage, it's probably more likely to be a make than a miss. But you can find scenarios where even with these top-level athletes, you know, they fail more than they succeed. A great example is Major League Baseball players and hitting. You know, baseball is a game built on failure. The best Major League Baseball players bat 300, which means that they get an out 7 times out of 10. So their dominant response is failure in that act. But across all sports, we'd expect them to be probably pretty good at whatever it is they're going to do. Well, if you take away the audience and you take away that driver of the arousal, then that dominant response is going to go away. So what you're going to have is, with the audience not there and that performance inducer or inhibitor not there, you're going to flatten the curve, right? So people that would have performed better because of the audience being there and their dominant response coming out being success, they're less likely to get that bump because the audience isn't there. Those who would have choked because their dominant response is failure, The audience is not there, so they're less likely to fail. So you get kind of a moving towards the mean, right? The audience not being there is one less reason that athletes would do well, the ones that are really good, and one less reason that athletes would fail. So you get this like squishing of the performance. But again, we would expect that in most scenarios, athletes at that level are really good at what they're doing. So you'd be more likely to get this scenario where there's this factor of the audience that improves performance most of the time, no longer there. So you would think that you'd be less likely to get these exceptionally high levels of performance. I don't think that you're going to see a lot of crazy performances in sport over the course of the past 12 months that you would have potentially have gotten because the audience is no longer there to be one of the drivers for success that athletes need, right? I mean, so many athletes use the fans as a motivational tool. The process is social facilitation. I don't think that the athletes know that, right? If you say, so do you do well because the fans are there? Yes. Why is that? I doubt very many of them quote Robert Zients and talk about social facilitation theory. They don't know why it happens or how it happens. They just know that it happens. Well, it's not there, right? So that's one factor that would make us think that given that the arousal of the fans is not there, athletes are less likely to get pumped up and have that extra drive to perform above and beyond what their normal tendencies would be.
When you apply these theories to the home court or the home field advantage, what have you discovered over the past year as far as is playing at home still beneficial if you're playing in front of empty stands?
It's not what it once was, that's for sure. And I think, you know, you can look at it in two ways, Tracy. You can look at it both in terms of research and you can look at it anecdotally. I think that's one of the nicest things about the stuff that I do, to be honest with you. It's that, yeah, I can quote theory and I can talk about research, or we can just go to the CFSB Center and experience it, right? Those of us lucky enough to have gotten tickets this year to Racer basketball games, it is not the same, right? I mean, you go to those basketball games and people are just kind of sitting around. I mean, goodness gracious, they were piping in fake crowd noise in Racer basketball games. And who would have ever thought, you know, all those discussions that we've had over the years about sports fans, who would have ever thought that we would have said, yeah, Murray State basketball, they're going to have to pipe in noise so it doesn't sound dead. We would have, what planet are we on where that had to happen? Well, guess what? That's where we are now, right? And it's just the environment, the atmosphere is not the same. So anecdotally, anybody who's had the opportunity to experience a sporting event in the last 12 months has felt that it's different. It feels different in person. It sounds different when you're watching it on TV or listening to it on the radio. It is different. Okay, so that's anecdotally. Then you go, well, what does the research say? I read recently that the past season in the NFL was the first season in the history of that league where the home team did not win more games than the road team. And I think that, you know, you can put the period right there in terms of the research. What more data do we need, right? That, well, the NFL is the big one, right? And we know the power of the NFL home field advantage. The NFL knows that power. That's why they reward teams with better records during the regular season with home field advantage in the playoffs. And gosh, it sure does make a big difference. Well, okay. You say, well, but is it really that important? You know, as the season wore on, the home teams were kind of opening up their doors a bit more and more. And then in the Super Bowl, they had a fairly decent number of fans. Lo and behold, somehow an NFL team figures out a way to have a Super Bowl in their home stadium. And I don't know if it was the most surprising outcome in a Super Bowl, but certainly in recent history, the way that the Buccaneers, you know, manhandled the Chiefs, I think surprised a lot of people, including the Buccaneers, if you listen to some of their quotes. Well, you know, does that happen if it's the second game of the season and there's 500 people in the stands? Probably not, right? Probably not, because again, we know the fans matter. The home field advantage is just that powerful of an effect, and it goes back so long. For as long as they've been doing research on fans, they've been doing research on the home field advantage, and the research suggests that it's about a 60% swing to the home team. And it's the same for college as it is for professional, and it's in, you know, women's sports, men's sports, individual sports, team sports, it doesn't matter. About 60% advantage to the home team. But the fans aren't there, there goes a 60% advantage.
So the home field advantage, or the home court advantage, has actually been the home fan advantage this whole time. Did people ever try to downplay the influence of fans? And is that argument now completely dead?
I think that probably some groups would want to downplay the impact of the fans. And I'll tell you why. For years and years and years, going back to the 70s, 80s, they've tried to figure out why home teams win more games, right? I mean, I always tell my students in my classes, it's kind of easy to figure out what people do, what they feel, and what they think. It's a lot harder to figure out why they do that, right? To understand the driving force, the motivation. And a lot of different theories were put out there, such as, well, maybe it's, you know, it's the travel and the fatigue of the visiting teams that make them not perform so well. Really? Have you seen how NBA teams travel? Right, their airplane looks way better than my house, and my house is only 3 years old, right? I mean, I don't think they're getting fatigued. And then others say, well, you know, but they know the home court is because the home team knows their own court. Like somehow in the NBA, one team's court has different dimensions. Well, our basketball goal, it's 12 feet high. You know, I mean, no, it's the same. A football field is a football field. They have these ideas, and they all get basically crushed by the research. What the research suggests is the home field advantage, about 90, 95% of the home field advantage is a function of the fact that the refs are biased in favor of the home team. There's a lot of really powerful evidence for this fact. For example, there's a home field advantage in the Olympics, but only in the Olympic sports that have a judge. Right. So if it's a track and field event, there's no home field advantage for people telling you how fast you ran. But if it's gymnastics, if it's diving, if it's synchronized swimming, all of a sudden the home field advantage comes out in force. There's so many pieces of evidence that show that what happens is fans have an influence on the officials, who then in turn are more favorable in their judgments towards the home team. For another great example is, some stadiums will have a track around like the soccer pitch or the football field, Murray State's, for example. Others don't have that. The fans are much closer to the action. That track is not separating the fans from the players. In those stadiums that don't have the track, the home field advantage is much greater. Well, of course it is, because the fans are that much closer to the officials or hearing what they're saying at that point. So you said, you know, do people try and downplay the home field advantage? Yeah, I would imagine that the organizations that represent the referees and the officials and the umpires, they probably try and downplay that effect, because the research in the last 10 years has shown that, yeah, you're why the home team wins more games than you would think that statistically they should, because the refs are biased in their decisions.